Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. God is good. You ready for this year?
Yes.
I'm going to come down here. Well, we're starting a new series today. We're never really done, but we're going to change. We're shifting gears. We just finished up almost a year-long series on the Holy Spirit, your best friend forever. And, you know, we're going to touch base on some things in this series too, but as a local church, how many of God's into local churches? Okay, let me say that one more time because three people think so. How many know God is into local churches? The local church is the heart of Father. And what we find in Scripture is when all the disciples thought that they were going to begin one particular era, Father had another idea. And we forget sometimes when you read the book of Acts, the book of Acts is all about the local church. It's not about the universal church. We're the ones that came up with that term. The Father is all about the local church. And, you know, I realize that when I begin a series like this, that we're risking becoming, what's the word I'm looking for? In-house, segregated from out there, you know, we become ingrown. That's a good word. But that's not the heart of Father. The heart of Father with local churches was never for the local church to become, everybody runs into a building, we get into a walls, and we all have our own little thing, and this is what we do, and nobody else can participate because you don't really understand what we're talking about anyway because we use our own Christianese language. So I realize that when I talk about, you know, when we begin this series about developing authentic community, I realize that I'm taking the risk of us becoming ingrown, and believe me, that's not where we're going. Because that's not the heart of Father. So what you have to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're just going to go through some scriptures today. These scriptures are nothing you haven't seen before. But maybe the Spirit of God can give you a new thought. How many want a new thought for 2016? He's going to bring out some things today that I believe is going to challenge you. Because I really believe that this is where he's going this year for the whole entire body of Christ. But here in Acts chapter 1, you read this, that Luke wrote this to a man named Theophilus. And he said, "The first account I composed, Theophilus," speaking of what we call the book of Luke, "about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice what it says here, that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gave an order. Everybody say, gave an order. So this wasn't an option. This was an order. And what you'll find is what he told them to do wasn't going to... They went to Jerusalem. And now imagine this. A guy you've been hanging out with for 3.5 years. He's it. He's your world. And all of a sudden, now he's gone. He's getting ready to go. And he tells them, okay, now go to Jerusalem. And don't go anywhere else until you're endued with power from the Holy Spirit. Now, they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he's been with you, now he's going to be in you. But can you imagine your leader's gone? The temptation would be, now what do we do? You realize that the day of Pentecost didn't come, I think it came 10 days after he gave that command. That's 2 weeks. Two business weeks. A lot can happen in your head in 10 days. Look, I've been here for 8, man. Nothing's happening. I'm out of here. I got a life to think about here. I got things to do. People to take care of. So a lot of these guys, I mean, there's 120 of them. Now granted, it did thin down quite a bit because Paul brings out in his letters that Jesus actually appeared to overall total about 500 people. But only 120 of them showed up in the upper room. So it did thin out a bit, but can you imagine having to wait 10 days and you don't really know what's going on? You just were told to go to Jerusalem and stay there. A whole lot of people's agendas could have gotten involved. And they would have missed one of the greatest participations with their father that there ever was. Go to look at verse 6. It says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it time? Are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which are what? Fixed. Is it up there? Fixed by his own authority. So what's getting ready to happen was designed by Father himself. The season that they were getting ready to move into was designed by Father himself. It didn't just happen because what else is going to happen? It didn't happen by default. It happened because Father designed for the season they were getting ready to go into to happen on purpose. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, it says about the Father that he said that every family in heaven and on earth derives its name from the Father. Now, think about this. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name from Father. So, we saw this last series that the resurrection of Jesus, that one event in the history of the human race, that one event fused heaven and earth together. There's no more division. Isaiah said that the old system, the old order of things in Isaiah 25, I believe it is that all of man was covered in a canopy. They were under... How many of you ever saw that TV show? I didn't watch it very much. I didn't watch it at all, but it was The Dome. Yeah, thank you. The Dome. Not that it was good or bad. I just didn't have time. But all these people were trapped in this dome, and they're like, you can't get... You can see outside, but you can't get out there. Well, Isaiah describes that was the environment for the entire human race pre-resurrection. But post-resurrection, Paul writes in his letters that he fused heaven and earth together. So, number one, I want you to understand that we saw the local church, the season that they were getting ready to go into was ordained by Father. The church is Father's agenda. He doesn't have any other agenda. Did you hear what I said? There is no other agenda. That's his agenda. He didn't make a mistake and say, well, that didn't work out too good. Let's do something different now. No, the local church is the Father's agenda. And the thing that's interesting, remember when the disciples, when they were watching Jesus go up. So now the new season is here. And all of the families in heaven and earth are named by Father. And all of heaven and earth is now fused together. So then in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, as they were gazing intently into the sky, while Jesus was going up, it says, behold, two men in white clothes stood beside him. Can you say, hello, family members? We forget that they're part of our family. And they're part of this agenda that Father is about. You know, in the book of Acts, you read through the book of Acts, and how many times do you find angelic encounters with people inside the local church? We're the ones that have put that and shoved that in the closet and said, well, that doesn't exist anymore. It's not really us anymore. He doesn't do that anymore. Man is the one that did that. But Father's agenda from the time of the resurrection forward was always about the local church and the interaction of heaven in the earth. So, when the day of Pentecost came, 10 days later, they were all together. But say they were together. And again, some of them flaked out, but at least 120 of them had enough sense to stick together. They were together in one place. And you know, you remember the story of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? They were all there, and the Spirit of God filled the room. And the local church was born. Notice what it says in Acts chapter, I believe it's Acts chapter 1. It says, and it shall be in the last days . See if it came up. No, it didn't come up. Well, I'll just read it from my screen then. We're working on a new system, so working some bugs out. So we'll get it. But it shall be in the last days, and God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Everybody say all.
All.
Does that include you? All mankind, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will be in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they'll prophesy. How many know he's speaking of heaven and earth being one? And this is inside the local church? And this is for every human being, including you. Everybody say, including me. So, obviously, rule number one would be, when it comes to authentic community in a local church, obviously, the starting place of authentic community is he has to be in the midst of that. We've gotten far too used to functioning as local churches, and he's not in the middle of it. But yet we see the birth of the local church was all about heaven invading earth. And that every human being was supposed to be a participant. Because the reality is, every human being is wired to participate. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, what is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Now let me ask you, who is he talking about? Is he talking about a conference? A convention? He's talking about the body of Christ, the local church. And notice what he says here. He says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, notice he didn't say if. Well, he says, when you assemble, each one of you might have a psalm. Is that what it says? What does it say? Has. That sounds like a pretty definite thing. Each one of you has a psalm. Each one has a teaching. Each one has a revelation. Each one has a tongue. Each one has an interpretation. But let all things be done for edification. This tells us, folks, that, you know, if you were raised like me, you relegated all this stuff off to everybody else. It wasn't, well, that's just not my gift. But that's not how Paul's speaking here. He's speaking that everybody he was talking to, every single person that was a recipient of this letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church, every single person was wired to participate when they came together, was wired to participate from some kind of download from Father. Here's the challenge. If we go off of the model that has been established and the mindsets that have been established in, let's just talk about, the Western church, some Western church thought processes. It's one where people come in, they sit down in a chair, and they all came to watch a monkey perform. But yet Paul is saying that every one of you is wired to receive from Father when you're together. Can you say authentic community? See, inauthentic community is everybody comes together and you walk in the door with the mindset of, well, I came to hear somebody preach. I got nothing, but somebody else has got something. That's not the way Paul's speaking here. He's saying when you come together, every one of you is wired to receive downloads from Father. Now, it may be this. See, this is the case for me. When I was younger, I grew up in church my whole life as long as I can remember. But nobody ever developed us in these things. But understand, there's a difference between you being developed in these things and it not being your, quote, gift. If you are born from above, then this is your DNA. Everyone is wired to... Imagine a church service, if you would, that, we minister to Him in our praise and our worship. And certain segments of the service, we get to practice. And it's a safe place because it's here. See, the idea that Father has is, and this is why I say it's not designed, the authentic community of a local church is not designed to be ingrown, is because this is only the place you practice. But did anybody notice that the book of Acts doesn't happen inside somebody's building? The book of Acts didn't happen inside someone's building. It was out there in the marketplace. But He gave us a place to practice here so that you can develop in becoming proficient in receiving Father's downloads here so that when you go out there and live life, if you're standing at Safeway, you've already practiced here. You recognize how it is with you and Him. And so you can give what He gives you right there. That's an authentic community. Because the reality is this, and look at Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel 39 says, I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit. Now what did he say he was going to do in the last days? He was going to pour out his spirit on all men, all flesh. Ladies, that includes you. So every human being out there is supposed to be experiencing what Ezekiel called the favor of the face of God. Is there any reason why the world doesn't seem to know who God is? Because we're his face. But think about this. If you are darkness, well, I can't control everybody. But I can talk you out of stuff. What if I tell you that all the stuff you're reading in the pages, oh, that's not for you. That was only for a certain time period. And it's not supposed to flow through you. That's not your gifting. Well, then what happens? Well, then you bite off on that, and then all of a sudden, you're not showing the face of God to your community. So we're leaving a vacuum for them to fill it in with whatever they think it is. At this point, there should be no wonder who Father is. If we had developed in these things early on, and I get it that God does things in seasons. I get it. I see that. You know, I came through the 80s. I saw all those things, and I understand that. I saw things start out good and went south. I've seen a lot of things. So I understand there are things that we have to learn before we can learn other things. But folks, we've all had this in our Bible. And if we're going to establish authentic community in the local church that is Father's heart, it is his agenda. He didn't set it aside. Isn't it interesting that we have this mindset a lot of times. I'm not saying you guys, but you know people. You know someone. That we like to talk about, well, Israel, he's done with Israel. Now it's all about the local church. He's done with Israel. It's all about the body of Christ now. Is that true? No. It's not true at all. But we're doing the same thing when we say, well, it's not about the local churches anymore. Those are corrupt, and he's doing a new thing. He's doing things. He's doing a new thing. How many have heard this crap? It's edit that off the tape. He's not working inside local churches anymore. They're corrupt, so he's just going to do things in my house. We're just going to all gather in my house, and we're just going to have, because, you know, after all, you know, we're two or more agree, and two or more gather, he's in the midst. Not if you're moaning and complaining. He's about the local church. Don't go pull out of that and say, well, he's doing a new thing just because you started it. His heart is the local church. It always has been. Now, granted, they're not going to rent the Roman Colosseum. In some of these other countries where they meet in houses, I mean, that's not the model. That's just what they have. Right? We haven't been occupied by a foreign entity like they have, like they were, like some of these other nations that you read about. You go over to Iran, you talk about the church in Iran, they're not going to go rent an open-air medium and have an open-air stadium. It's not going to happen. But folks, we're not in those days. We're not in that era. We're not in that season. So Father's all about local churches. And if local churches are meeting in buildings, frankly, folks, look, if I'm called to be a pastor, then I want to pack as large of a room as I possibly can. Let's just say you're the pastor. Do you want to have 20 meetings and say the same thing to a handful of people 20 different times? Or would you rather get as large a square footage as you possibly can and pack everybody in so that you can say it, get it over to them in once or twice? Three times if we need to. It's all about efficiency. But that's kind of natural man arguments. But the fact is, bottom line, what I'm saying is, if we're going to establish authentic community in the local church, we have to understand that Father is all about local church. He started it. This is the season that we're in. He didn't abandon it. He's not doing something new. And the very foundational thing we have to understand is that if we're going to have healthy, authentic community inside the local church, He has to be in the midst of us. Him doing things in the midst of us has to be a place where we're comfortable. Right? The local church in the first century was comfortable with Him being in the midst of what they were, where they were. I mean, Paul talked about this over in Galatians. He said, even as goofy as that church was, as people were trying to get those, influence those people in that church, he said, he asked him, he still asked him, and he still admitted in his writings that the Spirit of God was constantly, continuously doing miracles among them. It was a regular environment. It wasn't something where they had to, well, I got to go to a conference, or I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to go hear this person, I got to go catch this person, I got to go, it was among them, it was a part of, a regular part of who they were. The Holy Spirit was among them. Ezekiel 39, I'll not hide my face from them any longer, for I will pour out my Spirit. So whenever we allow the Spirit of God to be among us, then we're allowing His face to be seen. Especially when we get out there. Everybody with me? Notice what David said. Would you say that David had a pretty good relationship with God? And this is a quote from Psalm 16, but it's translated. I mean, it's translated. It's quoted again in Acts chapter 2, verse 25. David said of him, he said, I saw the Lord always in my presence. He saw the Lord when? Sometimes?
Always.
Only on Saturday? Only on Sunday? He saw it always. He saw Him always before Him. He's at my right hand and I will not be shaken. This statement was made to all the people that were listening on the day of Pentecost. It says, for the this promise of the Spirit of God in your midst, this promise is for you and for your children. As many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. You are going to work. It's in the book of Acts. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call Himself. So it's for all. You keep seeing the word all. It's for all. It's for everyone. Paul said when you come together, each one of you has. He didn't say each one of you might have. Everyone is wired to participate with Him. Everyone is wired. And Holy Spirit, if we'll let Him in 2016, you might say, well, He doesn't really use me that way. It's only because you don't allow Him to. Here's the challenge for 2016. The challenge for 2016 is, are you willing for Him to develop you in these things? How many have as much of God as you want? I'm glad to see nobody's hand went up. How many want to experience Him more? And we talked about this morning. You know, we want more of you, we want more of you, we want more of you. But you don't understand this, that having more of Him means you give up less, more of you. It starts with you. You know, I went to a conference yesterday. Some of y'all might have been there. I started laughing because I told my wife, I said, this man is preaching my message. In a way, he was. Every one of us is wired for participation with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to tune your frequency to His. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "So then those who were received His word were baptized, and that day there was added about 3,000 people." Folks, in 2016, do you believe God can multiply Best Life Church to the place where you come in and you're shocked because every one of these seats is filled? Amen. Then that's going to mean us being willing to be involved with Him. Yep. The local church for a long time has functioned on this premise of, if you build it, they'll come. This 3,000 people didn't happen just sovereignly. Those 120 had to obey the order of the Spirit of God through Jesus and show up where they were supposed to show up. And then, once they were there, Peter had to be willing to step out and give what God gave him right then. What if Peter had never been willing to give what God gave him right then? What if Peter had said, "Man, don't look at me. I don't know how to do this stuff. This is not my gifting. Public speaking is not my gifting." But he was willing to give what God gave him right then. And like that, 3,000 people are added to the local church. And it was a local church. There's no universal church, guys. It's a local church. Where do these guys go? 3,000 people. That's a pretty big increase immediately. Maybe we have built in all of these thought processes. Well, you know, we've got to prepare for this, and we've got to prepare this way, and we've got to do this or that. Maybe were these guys prepared for this? Maybe we've set all those things in place to make us feel better about where we're not. Maybe the reality is if we're just willing to give what He gives us and allow Him to develop us in that area to where we recognize what He gives us on a moment by moment basis. And we allow him to be in our midst. Maybe that's really all He wants. Notice what Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says. They were continually devoting themselves. Everybody say continually. Notice it doesn't say as it was their convenience. Let me ask you a question, folks. Did the people on the other end of this, did they have employment? Or did nobody have jobs back then and things just supernaturally fell out of the sky to provide for them? I mean, are these people? Did they have life? But yet we see wording like, from the Spirit of God saying that after the 3,000, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So here we see that even in the midst of their life, you say, "Well, brother, you don't understand, I'm busy." They weren't? They weren't busy? Did they just all sit around in their houses and watch TV? Oh, they didn't have a TV. See, every generation has had life. But notice the Spirit of God says that their thought, their mindset was they wanted to be all about what Father was in. And so whatever that looked like, Holy Spirit describes it as they were continually devoted to it. Imagine what would happen in a local church when the people in a local church understood. All over this city, when the people understand that the local church that they're in, that local church came straight out of the heart of Father, and that church is desiring for that local church to accomplish a piece of his dream for that city. And the people in that church got it. So they were devoted continually to that, to seeing that dream come to pass. What do you think would happen in a city? See, that's a far different mindset, far different mentality than what we've seen in years gone by, where people just pick and choose where they're supposed to go, and they just kind of go here, they go there, they, you know, whatever sounds good, whatever, you know, and somehow they think it's all up to them. And if they don't go, they don't have to go, and it doesn't matter, you know, but the local church is Father's heart. And every local church in a city or in a region, every one of them has an assignment. And the fulfillment of that assignment is straight out of a piece of the dream that's in Father's heart. What if we as the local church, what if we really understood that? What if we really got it? And as busy as everybody is, what if we understood it to the place where we just wanted to be a part of fulfilling that dream for Father in that local church? They continued devoting themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Notice this in Acts chapter 2. Verse 43, it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of what? Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Do you know what that feels like? What does he mean when everyone kept feeling a sense of awe? It means the fact that they were completely enamored with what Father was doing in their midst all the time. Can you say authentic community? See, anything besides this is not authentic. It's fabricated. And I don't know about you, but in 2016, I don't want to go through the motions. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many signs and wonders were taking place to the apostles. So authentic community starts with, number one, him being in the midst of us. Everybody say, in the midst of us. But number two, with us allowing him to be seen. Everybody say, allowing him to be seen. Folks, that's your word from the Spirit of God for 2016. 2016 is the year that we allow him to be seen. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, number one, do you remember over in Galatians? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul makes this statement. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Paul is describing a life of, I'm not alive. He is. How do we allow God to be seen? Well, you remember Jesus in what we call the Beatitudes. He talked about those that walk in humility, the meek will allow him to be seen. Well, what does it mean to be meek? Well, it just simply means that you agree with what he says. And if that means the Spirit of God impresses you to step outside what you feel is your qualifications, do you step back and say, I can't do that, I'm not qualified? Or do you just go with it, step out, even though you don't think you know what you're doing? You're in a public place, and the Spirit of God says, hey, see that person over there? Go over there and tell them. Authentic community, if we're going to allow God to be seen in 2016, we step out on that, we walk over there, and we open our mouth, and we give them what we got. When we start fabricating communities because we're not seeing his face, we're not seeing him active among us, we're not seeing him in our midst because we're not stepping out. And even if he gives you one particular word, by the time you get over there, you might have more, but hold on to your hats. By the time you get over there, that might be the only thing you got, one word. But you let that word out of your mouth and all of a sudden something else starts coming. How do you allow him to be seen? You just be willing to step out where he leads you. If you're inside of the local church, how do you step out and let him be seen? Well, let's say that in 2016, one of the ways we step out and let him be seen in our midst is we're willing to step out and do things that we never done before in our life. We don't try to micromanage everything to where because it's controllable. We're willing to step out on a place where I have zero experience where I'm standing right now. But we're willing to go there because we want to allow him to be seen. Because, folks, let's just face it. If you can manage it and you can do it, then they're not seeing him, they're seeing you. And 2016, the Holy Spirit, his heart's desire, and it comes from Father, his heart's desire is he wants to be seen. In this city, he wants to be seen as the healer. People know him as the Savior. That's all they've ever gotten. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, John 3:16. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's ultimately where you want him to go. But the fact is, nobody knows him as the healer. Father says, will you allow me to be seen this year? Paul understood, if I want to see more of the Spirit of God, then I have to disappear. On your job, are there areas that you've been staying away from because you say, oh, I'm not qualified for that. I don't know if I can do that. Why don't you step out and let the Spirit of God show you can do it? You're going to allow him to be seen. In Colossians, Paul said it like this. He said, in Colossians chapter 3, he said, you've died. Is that a potential or is that a statement of fact? You've died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Before this statement, he said, seek those things which are above where Christ sits. So here's the challenge. If we want to allow him to be seen, then we have to be willing to live life from where we're seated with him instead of living life walking around in your circumstances. Because, see, it's notorious. Church folks are notorious for life becomes all about us. It's all about us. It's all about my problems. It's all about what I don't have. It's all about what I need God to do for me. And I'm not saying those things aren't valuable, because obviously we want the Spirit of God to lift everyone to the place where they're created to be and enjoy interaction with him and enjoy the blessing of God like Jesus bought for us. I get that. But did you notice that you don't see any of that in the book of Acts at all? It's not that it wasn't there. But he doesn't bring any of that out. He brings out interacting with him. What happens when we allow him to be seen? It was said like this in Acts chapter 2. You remember the segment said they were all those who believed were come together and had all things in common. It was interesting. Years ago, I picked up a particular Christian study help, and I looked in that, and it defined this verse, and it called it communism. I was like, really? And for a long time, honestly, I didn't understand why they do this. And I understand historically there's some situations were going on why they did it. But more importantly, what I want you to see in this verse brings out what authentic community looks like when life's not all about me. When your life is hidden in Him, everything, you got a loose hold on stuff, and if He wants to direct it and move it around, He can. And this verse is simply articulating what the environment looks like when people allow Him to be in their midst and do what He wants to do in their midst, and life doesn't become about them because they're in awe of Him. This is simply a result of them being in awe of Him. Can you see that? Can you see that? It's simply a result of them being in awe of Him. I'm not gunning for your stuff. Just don't worry about it. So authentic community means living life from where you're both seated. You and Him are both seated, not you living in your circumstances. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Day by day, continue with one mind in the temple. I'm going to say one mind. Whose mind do you think they were continuing in? Do you realize what could happen in a city, in the city of Phoenix, in the city of Scottsdale, in the city of any, whatever city you're in? Do you realize what could happen in that city if everybody would just allow themselves to be absorbed into Him, be in awe of Him, make life about Him, and be in His mind instead of you fighting to live in your own? Well, brother, I got priorities. I got stuff to do. I got things I got to take care of. I got this. I got that. So does everybody else. These people have the same situations. Everybody has life. But Holy Spirit doesn't bring any of that out. He simply describes what the environment looks like, the authentic environment in a local church, when people give themselves. If we're going to say, my life is hidden in Him, what does that really look like? I realize I'm challenging you guys, folks, and I realize, but you got to understand, this is coming straight from the Spirit of God. The only reason that the local churches have failed is because everybody's doing what everybody's doing. So we don't pitch the whole thing. We just get on Father's mindset and walk in His mind instead of our own. If you've ever had any bad experiences in any local church, the only reason you've had bad experiences in a local church is because somebody made their mind, what was in their mind, a priority over what was in His. That's the only reason. We don't pitch the whole thing. We don't say, oh, He's done with those things. He's not done with it at all. When you see Jesus and He's come back, then you can say He's done with that. But until that day, He's not done. The local church is where it is. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with what? Is it up there? With gladness. And what? Sincerity of heart. That means nobody had any agendas. The only reason that you've had bad experiences in a local church is because you talked to somebody or you interacted with somebody who had their own agenda and not Father's. Is this okay? I mean, are we allowed to talk about this? Because you all said you don't have enough of God yet. You want more of God. Right? So, it says, notice what it says, with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with, Now, y'all, how many have read this verse before? I have. Did you notice that it said the local church had favor with, did it say some of the people?
All the people.
Here's a deep thought from heaven. The only way they could have favor with all the people is if they were in the midst of all the people. Did you hear what I just said? They could only have favor with all the people if they were actually living life in the midst of all those people. Not holed up in a tent, in a building someplace, in a house someplace, in a... So finally, and I'm closing with this, authentic community is established and alive when we live out our life where the people are. And we allow God to be seen because we stop short-circuiting where he's trying to take us because well, I'm not qualified. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's not my gift. Well, I've never done that before. Well, that's not really my strength. In 2016, if you will eliminate all of that, you will have mastered allowing God to be seen in 2016. And if you'll step out and allow him to develop you, whether it's inside the local church, put your hand to something that you have no experience to do. See what he does. Because you're all about bringing the dream that is in Father's heart to pass through that local church in that city. If it's on the job, if you have a desire, if a position comes open in your job, but your first thought is, "Well, I don't know if I can do that," you need to override that and go put in your application for it. Because the more you die, the more you allow him to live, and the more you allow him to show you who you really are, what he's really put in you. I promise you there's things inside of you that you have absolutely no clue are in there, and you never will unless you're willing to allow him to be seen, which means when you're challenged, when that desire comes up in you, you don't stuff it back down and say, "Well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Oh, what if I fail? What if..." You say, "Pastor, you're really messing with my mojo here." Good. You don't think that same challenge is on me? We want Holy Spirit, we want Father to be seen in 2016 in this city. That's our assignment. So his challenge to you is, how much of you are you willing to let go of so that you can allow him to be seen? He leads by desires that are in here. This is how he leads. If he's put it in there, it's in your future. One of the most magnificent things that I think I've ever realize from the Spirit of God is I've been in this thing a long time, guys. You all stand up just so you know I'm for real. I've been in this thing a long time in one capacity or another. And I came into this thing with a certain mindset of how things are supposed to be done. You know, my wife and I, we started our first church years and years and years ago. And the only thing you got to go off is what you've ever seen. And all of the time we kept running into people and the Spirit of God would tell us, "Don't do what you know." Well, my thought is, what the heck am I supposed to do then? Because I didn't know what else there was. But see, he was bringing us along. And I'm going to tell you this, folks, he's raised up this church. I can't speak for anybody else's church, but he's raised up this church to develop multitudes of people to learn how to live as a whole human being. You say, well, I am whole. Not if you're not living out of your spirit, you're not whole. And the Holy Spirit's not flaky. You can listen to last year's series on that one. He doesn't lead you here and then, oh, he changed his mind, now it's here. Oh, no, it's over here now. Oh, he's not flaky. Because Holy Spirit is only doing what Father tells him to do, and Father's desires and Father's, what's in Father's heart is dreams that he's placed inside of local churches that he wants to see that thing explode in that city. Every local church is needed, but everybody has an assignment. And if we want to see more of God in 2016, we have to be willing to go from not stepping out, not putting our hand to things, not opening our mouth in public places when he gives you something, even if it doesn't make sense to your mind. We have to be willing, even if it's just to go over and, if he tells you to go over and speak a blessing. I've been into malls and all I got was to go over to a dad who was sitting there with a stroller full of kids and just tell him, I want you to know, I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but I just want you to know that God thinks you're an amazing dad and he thanks you for taking care of his kids. They look at you like, what are you? I don't care. I just want to do what he gave me. Because the more you do that, they'll start giving you more. Folks, the gifts of the Spirit, it's not about your gifting. It's about the fact that they haven't been developed. And the only reason they haven't been developed is because maybe you haven't put yourself in a position, in a place, time after time after time after time after time after time, that you had to have those things come through for you because you stepped out where he gave you the nudge. You think Paul understood or Saul understood how all these things work when he first started ministry? No. He would use his intellect. By golly, I'm going to debate. I can show you that Jesus is the Christ, and all that did was almost get him killed. He had to learn how to live out of his spirit just the way we have to learn. But the more we make a decision on every case-by-case situations that I'm going to allow him to be seen. Being humble means that I believe what he says about me, and I'm going to allow him. If he's nudging me in a direction, that's who I am. So I'm going to allow him to take me there, even if my head is screaming. I'm going to allow him to take me there and develop me in these things because he's already seen my end from the beginning. Folks, this is an environment where we're not going to live off another man's theology. I love reading books. I'm reading three of them right now. But you're not going to live in another man's theology and be developed, or another woman's theology, somebody else's theology, and be developed in allowing God to be seen and you experiencing, interactive experientially, God in 2016. It won't happen that way. So are you up for it?
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.